This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
What's trending?
What's trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Number one on what's trending, the Royals announced today they have signed a deal once again with Diamond Sports Group, meaning games will be back with FanDuel Sports Network. That was formerly called Bally. It'll be produced and distributed by them. You'll have the ability to access it in the same way you did in the past, plus the Amazon Prime Video add-on as an option. So for those that already have the Prime app, which if you watch any Thursday Night Football, you do, you'll have the ability to pay an extra fee to add on the FanDuel package, which is what the Royals are going to be on. Now, what does that cost? No clue, quite honestly. Haven't seen anything like that. No deal on the dollar amount. It looks like the standalone FanDuel Sports Network app will be very similar in terms of cost as what you were paying before. Other than that, yeah, it's supposed to be on some of the major cable companies as well. But the biggest change with this is the name rebrand and then the fact that you'll have the ability to add it on through Amazon's app. And of course, you can just listen to the games on 96.5 The Fan anyway. And see, that's the easiest thing to do. You know?
Great.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Next up on What's Trending, Chris McCaffrey and 49ers backup running back Jordan Mason both headed to IR. Just more and more injuries for the 49ers. Chris McCaffrey, PCL injury, at least out for 6 weeks, but that's the season. And then Jordan Mason, who's done a really good job, now also on IR. So it's is it Isaac Garrido or whatever, the rookie running back, is now their starting running back for what looks like a lost season now with the 49ers.
Yeah, it's tough for them the way that things have kind of gone. All of it capsizing with that game on Sunday night.
Next on What's Trending, we discussed Texans linebacker Al Shahir yesterday with the hit on Trevor Lawrence and knocked him out of the game that led to an ejection for two players. And I thought that wasn't one of those hits that put the defender in a brutal spot. There's plenty of times where you're asking a defender to do the impossible. I felt like this was one of those that's a little more on the dirty side. Well, the NFL agreed, or at least perception agreed, because three-game suspension now for the Texans linebacker. We'll see if he appeals. And looking
at, there's no way he appeals that.
I mean, he can, right? Like, nothing prevents him from doing that.
Yeah, it's just a really bad. I don't think you can.
The Texans are on a bye week. That doesn't count as a game. So that means he's missing the Chiefs game.
Ah.
So they're on a bye. He will not play in the Dolphins-Texans game. He will not play in the Texans-Chiefs games. And unless he appeals, he will not play in the Ravens-Texans game. Those are big games that he's going to be out. He's one of their better linebackers, or maybe their best linebacker that they have on defense. So that's something that does tie back in to Kansas City.
I just don't think there's no way he can. I think you just take the three games and you just move on. You know,
he
apologized and everything. You know, it's a dirty hit. He goes as hard as he can, as he said, every single play. Sometimes you got to have the intuition where you know that they're sliding. You can push him, you can get on him, but you don't. He went through Trevor Lawrence.
I think that was more on the dirty side than hey, what do you want the defender to do? He doesn't have any time to stop.
I just think it wipes away his whole apology if he appeals it.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Lastly on What's Trending, local college hoops tonight, Missouri. They're hosting Cal at 6 o'clock in Columbia. The Tigers 6-1. Their only loss is to Memphis. And Memphis has gone on to beat UConn, so maybe not as bad. Now, this Sunday in Columbia, Kansas
upset special
and Missouri. Number one Kansas taking on Missouri on Sunday. Maybe on Friday we'll talk a little bit about it. I don't feel like there's much juice around that game. It's on a Sunday afternoon. I understand why it is, because they were worried about potential SEC and Big 12 title games at the time, way back when everybody thought they were going to have better seasons.
ESPN2, by the way, is where you can
and
watch
it's on ESPN. Or tonight's game or Sunday, sorry.
Sunday's game is on ESPN2.
Okay. Gotcha.
Tonight's game is on SEC Network.
Gotcha. Okay. Are you watching that?
Yeah, I might watch that one because the Wisconsin Badgers play at 8, so I'll be able to double dip, do a little Missouri Cal hoops, and then go to Wisconsin at 8.
Okay. That is what's trending.
Somebody saying he filed an appeal already?
I just looked up Adam Schefter's Twitter account to see. Adam Schefter says that he is planning on appealing.
I just think for you to send a 2-page-long apology and then for you to appeal the...
He
don't understand that.
He has had multiple offenses, if you will, for sport, you know, unsportsmanlike, personal fouls. And so he's not on the Vontaze Burfict. He's on that path and they're trying to prevent it. And if the league wants to pretend that they care about safety, then they can't not have a multiple game suspension for what happened. You know?
I think 3 games is about right. Anyways,
we'll get to all 32 here in about 8 minutes or so, all 32 in the NFL. But let's take a peek at the AFC. It's been a little bit since at least I've had a chance to do that on this show. And that is now heading into December. We're in the month of December. It is go time for every single team in the NFL. And we have a much clearer picture of what it's going to look like. There's a conversation about the one seed, which is still to me a 2-team thing. But then there's a broader conversation about what these teams all look like. We've spent a great deal of time talking about, hey, the Chiefs don't look right, or can they get right by the playoffs and all of that. But how about some of these other teams that are also either looking right and it's December or not looking right? One team that I'll ask you guys, do the Steelers deserve more attention as a threat to Kansas City in the playoffs? Right now, for a regular season game, of course they're a threat. I would not be surprised at all if the Steelers can win that game on Christmas Day. The Steelers can win a game, and they're a very tough out. The question is, to be a threat in the playoffs, can they win multiple games? And the Steelers are 9-3. They're not a threat for the one seed. It's the Chiefs and Bills convo there. Here's what the Steelers have ahead. Cleveland at home, which is always just going to be a tough game, the way Jameis plays, full Jameis experience last night. At Philly, at Baltimore, home to Kansas City, home to Cincy. That's a brutal ending for Pittsburgh. They're not getting the number one seed. They're in line to win that division, though, and probably be the number three seed in the AFC. I know Russ looked great against Cincinnati. Did I say it? Against Cincinnati.
Everybody does.
I don't know if he can string multiple games together. He might end up winning comeback player of the year. Mike Tomlin, of course, strong case to be coach of the year. And the Steelers, admittedly, are way better than I and a lot of people thought they would ever be. Do I think they're a threat, though, to like get to an AFC title game and win a Super Bowl? I still am not there. And if they go and win at Philadelphia, maybe my tune changes because I think the Eagles are playing really, really good football right now. I just still struggle because ultimately in the playoffs, we know it usually comes down to quarterback play. And Russ is playing good right now, but is he going to string multiple games together and play better football than Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes? I just don't know, man. I don't believe that's the case. As far as the Bills in the number one seed convo, we know they have the tiebreaker on Kansas City. That's why the Chiefs have to finish with a better record. Kansas City is 11-1. Buffalo's 10-2. The Bills are on a bye this week. We know the Chiefs are hosting the Chargers. Then the Chiefs go to Cleveland, host Houston, go to Pittsburgh, go to Denver. The Bills, the key is the next two games they play. At LA against the Rams and at Detroit. Yeah, they finish up against New England, the Jets, and New England again. But it's the next two games. I find it hard to believe if the Bills don't lose one of those to the Rams or the Lions, that the Chiefs can be the one seed without winning out. And I don't believe the Chiefs are going to win out. If they finish 16-1, then of course this conversation doesn't matter. The Chiefs are clearly the number one seed. If they finish 15-2, you have to have the Bills lose at least one game. You cannot win the tiebreaker. We all know this. So that's what I'm talking about with the Rams and Lions. I feel like that's the one they have to lose. Maybe the Bills slip up against New England or the Jets or New England again. You have to, I think, have a game of wiggle room, unless you're just the most optimistic Chiefs fan and you think they're going to run the table. If they do that, then yeah, there's nothing to worry about. Chargers, Houston, Pittsburgh, and Denver on the schedule still.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's real tough. Well, and right now, by the way, for your Steelers question, they would play Baltimore in the wild card matchup, 3-6, and then they would play, if they won game, you would assume the Buffalo Bills.
I said Bills are on a bye, excuse me. Bills are playing the Rams this week. Same thing applies. They're not on bye, but they're playing the Rams this week. Same thing.
I don't know if you think that the Steelers are going to get through the the Bills? Like, say they beat the Ravens. Is that they already did it once, yeah. And you're still asking this question. So if they beat them in the playoffs, does it matter as much as if they beat the Bills? Then they're, I mean, if they they'd be winning two playoff games. The Steelers theoretically would beat Baltimore, and if Buffalo wins, it would be the 3-2, Pittsburgh at Buffalo. I don't know if they're beating Buffalo. I don't think we're there yet in terms of having confidence about the Steelers. I mean, are you more worried
about... Oh, do I think they're a tougher out now than I did 5 weeks ago? For sure.
Yeah, in terms of them actually being can they beat the Chiefs and go to the Super Bowl? You're not there yet.
No, okay. I'm not, and it still is deep down. Russell Wilson, can he do it for multiple games in the playoffs? And I'm very skeptical.
Are you more worried about the Chargers or the Broncos than the Steelers? Or are you more worried about the Steelers than those two?
If the Chiefs get the number one seed, I think that all takes care of itself. Because in this scenario, I think the Ravens are the 5 seed, the Chargers or Broncos are the 6 or the 7. And so 7 seed plays 2 seed. And if the Chiefs are the 1 seed, that means 7 seed, let's call it Denver, goes to Buffalo. That sorts itself mm-hmm. out. Then 6 seed Chargers would go to 3 seed Pittsburgh. Yep. So they're eliminating each other. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's why the number one seed is so crucial. One, you get the bye, but you take a lot of that out of the equation. You're not having to play both these teams that we're discussing here.
I think best case scenario for the Chiefs would be, in a way, I know, like, I've been on record, you don't need to worry about the Ravens. You shouldn't, because they're not as good of a team as you think.
They look, you want to talk about the team that looks like a mess right now. That's the Baltimore Ravens.
They're not as good as you think. I've been saying that. But if it's 2 seed Bills against 7 seed Ravens, one of them's going to lose.
Oh, you think the Ravens are falling back to the 7 seed?
I'm just telling you right now where they're at.
They have
the same record as the Denver Broncos right now at 8-5, and Denver's the 7, and they beat the Chargers technically. So, and mm-hmm. they beat the Ravens beat the Broncos and they beat the Chargers.
Yeah, the Ravens
do. So the Ravens are not going to be the 7 seed in that theoretical scenario.
Yeah, I don't think the Ravens are falling past the 5, maybe the 6, but I think they're the 5 seed when it's all said and done. The Ravens are on a bye. Actually, that's one team that is on a bye. And then they play the Giants. That should be an easy win. And then Steelers will be brutal again. Texans, who knows? The Ravens are just a mess because they got a kicker problem. If we're just talking about like threat in the playoffs, they have a kicker problem. Justin Tucker,
crazy as that sounds,
who had been consistently one of the best kickers in football, he cannot make kicks consistently. It's not a physical thing. It's clearly a mental
thing. He's no longer the best kicker in NFL history, I think, just based on this season.
Accuracy. You know,
take it away.
Yeah, Harrison Butker is actually the most accurate kicker now, officially an active kicker in the NFL. He's up there. He's number one. While he's been on the IR, Pinheiro and Tucker have been missing kicks. Mm. And so Butker actually is the most accurate kicker officially. We'll talk about tomorrow more.
Somebody from the 816 says the Steelers have won 2 games without scoring a touchdown. They don't scare me. I think that actually should scare you.
Mm-hmm.
I think it should because they're starting
multiple
to catch
wind. Are you winning
now.
Multiple playoff games doing that, though? You know what I mean? Again, no, I think they can win it. In fact, I think the Steelers will win a playoff game. Can they win multiple playoff games?
But I don't think they're not going to score a touchdown. Uh-huh. Like the way the offense... Yes, they beat the Bengals, and yes, the Bengals' defense stinks, but the offense has looked better over the last few weeks. I don't think they're going to be in that situation where they're going to win a playoff game or have to win a playoff game without scoring a touchdown. I think the fact that they've won games without them scoring a touchdown goes to show you how good the defense is, and that should scare you a little bit.
If you're
Baltimore, shouldn't be feeling good at all about playing the Pittsburgh Steelers in the playoffs.
Baltimore shouldn't be feeling good about anything now. They have a kicker problem. They traded for Deontay Johnson, who they have active, who's not on the field. Harbaugh's out here not answering questions. It sounds like Deontay Johnson might not want to be on the team anymore. It's weird. The Chiefs dodged a bullet with Deontay Johnson, whatever the heck's going on there. Remember, everybody here, including myself, was interested in Deontay Johnson. He's done absolutely nothing for Baltimore. And the Chiefs got DeAndre Hopkins, and we all know that's been panning out pretty well. So
I just think in the AFC picture, real quick, I don't know if there's. I think it's the maybe. I don't know if I'd go as far as to say that, but it is. I would say it's the Chiefs, it's the Bills, and then it's the Steelers. And I don't know. I might put Denver over Baltimore right now. Like if they played a game together, I think Denver's winning the football game right now.
Interesting. Okay. The one text I just completely disagree with. I don't know.
Wait, which one is this now?
I don't know how this happens. Someone, 913-586-7965. from the 913 says Colts over Steelers to make playoffs. What?
Like, do you realize what has to happen for?
So the Colts can still. So happen? One part of it, like yes, the Colts could still make the. If the Colts win out, they play the Broncos in a week or whatever. This week, I think. If they win that game, then the wild card gets very interesting for the
Colts.
Battle
of the ponies, yeah.
The Colts making it and the Steelers not. I actually think it borderline might be impossible.
The Steelers would have to lose every game, and the Colts would have to win. Essentially,
the Steelers are not losing out. Come on, like that's just yeah. That's not happening.
That'd be an all-time
let's get to all
30. Apart.
Let's get to all 32. We owe an apology. I know I do. But I think we all owe an apology a little bit to one Bryce Young in Carolina. We saw it firsthand against the Chiefs, what he was able to do. We saw this past weekend, they lost an overtime game against the Bucs. He did what he needed to do for the money. He had a game what looked like a game-winning drive. Bryce Young, we all thought was done. The Panthers benched him. We all thought they were going to trade him. They said, no. The only reason why he started starting again quicker is because Andy Dalton got in a car accident. So they were forced to start him again. And since then, for a guy that probably could have lost a ton of confidence, he took the high road. Dave Canales in Carolina got that thing corrected with Elise Bryce Young. He is showing signs of why he was drafted where he was drafted.
Yep.
I'm not telling you Carolina is going to be a threat next year or anything necessarily. But Bryce Young looks like a real NFL quarterback. And you're like, oh, I see why they might have drafted him there. If you're a Panthers fan, you should actually have some hope now. I owe Bryce Young an apology. I thought that thing was over for him. The last couple weeks, they've lost some games, but that's not what really is mattering for Carolina in judging Bryce Young. It's like, hey, can he look competent? Can he show that he's a franchise quarterback?
Yeah.
298 and a touchdown and an overtime loss. We know against Kansas City they lost in a close one. He had 263 and a touchdown. He had two wins prior to that, admittedly against the Giants and Saints. He's playing a lot better football. He hasn't thrown a pick in 3 weeks. That might be the most important thing. And it's not like he has a ton of weapons still. So I think Bryce Young deserves an apology from a lot of people.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree with you. I think Xavier Leggett also is really starting to continue to develop as a really good wide receiver for them. Of course, they're limited with options. But, yeah, Bryce Young has looked very good. So mine has to go back to a little bit of last night's game. But just in general, I don't think the Browns are serious about winning games. Because, and I know that we have said this on this show, and I'm sure a lot of people feel the same way as well. If they were serious about winning, if they actually wanted to win games, Deshaun Watson would have never started for them, and they would have played Jameis Winston from the jump. Because even though you get the full Jameis experience last night, he's throwing pick sixes, he's making ridiculous throws, he's going nuts. Do you have a piece of audio?
I know I'm better than this. I know. I'm just praying for the Lord to deliver me from pick sixes. Like, that's not me. Like, a phenomenal game, offense, do some great things, but I messed it up.
He just described his entire career right there.
In all honesty, like if you factor in as well, somebody did the math. Completed passes, technically, Jameis completed those two pick sixes. He threw for 668 yards yesterday of offense. They have a better shot to win with Jameis than they did with Deshaun Watson. Jameis Winston's worst game this year was better than Deshaun Watson's best game. I know that he threw a lot of picks yesterday. He's got 11 touchdowns to 7 picks. Otherwise, he'd be 11-4. He looks better. The offense looks so much better. Jerry Jeudy last night went off. Of course, it's against a former team as well. It's the full Jameis experience, but if the Browns were serious about winning gold, they should have been playing Jameis this entire time. And not that he's like a top 15 quarterback or a top 10 quarterback, but he gives them a whole lot better chance with that defense than Deshaun Watson ever did. And I just feel like they've wasted a whole another year of Myles Garrett and that defense. They should have been playing Jameis from the jump. And
they still can't trade him though or anything. Like, I mean, still can't trade him, still can't really cut him. And their only hope is still to use the potential clause if there's more legal problems and they want to go down that path. Otherwise, that he's back on he's back next year.
I still don't think they should play him. I know that you're paying him. It doesn't matter. If you want to win games or gold, or you have to trade Myles Garrett, you have to trade Gary Newsom, you got to trade Martin Emerson, you got to clean house with all of your good players. everybody's got David Njoku.
I actually think Kevin Stefanski is a good coach. I think he is too. I really do, but he's in a weird spot.
I think he is too. But if
I'm him, I would. I mean, you almost want to find a way to get out of that spot and get to another head coaching gig, because Kevin Stefanski, if he was fired, he'd get hired the very same cycle, I believe. How do you expect them to win with Deshaun Watson and now with Jameis, even though they look better with Jameis out there? Like, they have a chance to win every week with Jameis, yeah. But he also...
They also have a chance to lose every week.
Well, dude, that's the full Jameis experience.
I know, it's great.
Right? He's going to give you a chance to win and lose every week.
You could have placed a bet last night on FanDuel, a live bet, that he breaks the NFL record for passing yards in a single game with 555. And I was like, you know what? He might actually have a shot at this. It did not happen, but...
It did not. No, it definitely did not. That's all 32... in the NFL. Someone says, well, Deontay Johnson holding Bryce Young back. Who knows what's... The Deontay Johnson thing is bizarre. He's in Baltimore now. He got traded. And he hadn't done any... I mean, honestly, he has not done anything there. And he's been active, and he's not getting snaps. Harbaugh was really weird when he was asked about the situation. Said he couldn't really talk about it, and they're working out some things. Who knows? But it was an acquisition they thought was going to really help their offense, and he has brought nothing to the table. I don't know if it's a Baltimore thing. I don't know if the same thing would be going on here if he was in Kansas City, but it looks like the Chiefs dodged a bullet of training for Deontay Johnson, who Nate Taylor, I think, told us at the time, Deontay Johnson only wanted to be on an East Coast team. That was a big reason why. Like, the Chiefs were interested, but Deontay Johnson really only wanted to stay on the East Coast. So he ends up in Baltimore. His market was limited. That's why they didn't give up much to get Deontay Johnson, but man, they really wanted him.
He isn't even going to have to ask to be in a certain market anymore, because the market is going to be small for him after this as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. Up next, I want to get back to the Major League Baseball side of things, including a rule change that seems like it's something out of a video game if it ever happened, plus the random question of the day. Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Drew Nixon with you. Cody will be back with us on Thursday. Here in about a half hour, Nate Taylor from The Athletic, our Chiefs insider, going to join me in the studio. We'll get right back into the Chiefs, including what he's hearing on the DJ Humphries possibility of starting on Sunday night. I think it was pretty clear from Andy yesterday, though. He was hinting that if all goes well this week, it looks like it would be DJ Humphries. Plus, we'll talk about the rest of the AFC with him in just a second. But for now, some baseball discussion, because I, as I said earlier, had to double, triple check that it wasn't some fake thing. That's how bad this rule proposal is for baseball. But it's a real thing. Rob Manfred, commissioner of Major League Baseball, said that there is at least conversation around this so-called golden at-bat idea. Basically, it would allow a team one opportunity to call upon a hitter who is in the lineup but not due for the upcoming at-bat. So, here in Kansas City, it is Bobby Witt Jr. He is due up in 5 at-bats, okay? But it's a time where you think you need a crucial hit. So you say, all right, we're going to use our one golden at-bat. Here comes Bobby Witt Jr. He gets to bat. Let's say he gets a hit. He gets on base. He can stay on base. But then his normal turn, he would still get a bat. Heck, you could have him use the golden at-bat the batter before, and Bobby could theoretically get 2 bats in a row. There's no specific circumstance that has been outlined, because the rule change is so early and hopefully never happens.
Bizarre.
Whether it would be late innings only, maybe you use it only after the 7th, maybe you decide to burn it in the 2nd, and I guess there's strategy involved. This, though, is one of the dumbest ideas. It is video game stuff. Like, it's a fun mode on MLB The Show. It's something that maybe would be in an all-star game. Although, as I said earlier, I don't think they would ever do it there, because the egos would get involved and players wouldn't want to be pulled for another player in an all-star game, like in that fashion, where it's like, we truly need a hit and we don't trust you to get a hit. It's stupid. This is not real at all. There's other rule changes that I think have been really impressive for baseball. Pitch clock has been good for baseball. The extra wild card has been good for baseball. Allows more teams and markets to be involved late in the season. There are so many other things I would change with baseball before we get here. This is so ridiculous. Honestly, like, you know, normally, like, I'm all about having solutions and it's fun to have new ideas. This is just dumb. This is phony. This is fake. It is ridiculous. Golden at bat rule that they actually are somewhat having conversations about.
I almost would want to ask if Rob Manfred is actually the one that came up with this, or if this is like, hey, TV executive over at Fox came through and actually gave us this idea, and should we entertain it? And it got out. Like, I wouldn't think that the commissioner of baseball, who, to your point, Gold, and to Rob Manfred's credit, has done some good things for the game of baseball, and he's helped it become a more entertaining product, a better viewing experience, attending experience. Games don't take forever. I wouldn't think that the commissioner of that league would propose an idea like this, where, especially for baseball, I think having the historical significance that it has, they haven't gone away. Why would they? I think they would be more likely, actually, they'd be smarter to change the game total than to make this jump. Like, they haven't switched from 162 games.
Well, of course, yet. There's so many things I would do before this, but we know that the game thing is only because they're worried about losing revenue and the owners don't want to do that. Otherwise, of course, they should have.
I think they'd lose revenue by this happening.
They should have 110 games, and there should be a salary cap, and there should be a salary floor. Like, there's a lot of things I would do in a heartbeat that just aren't happening in baseball. This is just very gimmicky and phony. Someone said, "Who are they trying to appease with this change?" I mean, their thought is the younger demographic that has zero attention span, right? That just wants to be able to look at their phone and then occasionally look up and have a reason to watch. I obviously, we know baseball, the demographic is trending older and older every single year. I get that they want to try to attract younger fans. There's a lot of other things that maybe you could do. This is like changing the sport. Having a pitch clock is not changing the sport. The equivalent to this in the NFL is what? That you get to have a fifth down once a game? That you get to have a bonus kick once a game where the field goal's worth 6 points? Like, that's the kind of crap that would be the equivalent in the NFL. This is ridiculous. Someone on the text line says, "Can't believe Alex Gold isn't a fan of the Golden at-bat." Mm. Look, I love the name. Love the name. You know, in the All-Star game, if you want to call it the Golden at bat for an extra point, go for it. Do a gimmick there. Not in the regular season, please.
And if we are talking about, they want to appease the younger audience because of attention span. This does not address the problem of attention span. This addresses you wanting to put your stars in more spots. The problem with baseball right now is what? They don't present their stars enough already. Like, I don't think is the way to do that. If they want to try to appease the audience, like is not a, we're trying to get to the younger audience at all whatsoever, in my opinion, more than it is. They're trying to promote the stars a little bit more or trying to do that because the game is still going to take just as long. If anything, it might even take a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden now you got to stop. Hey, hang on a second. I need Bobby Witt to come over from second. We're going to have him hit again right here.
Let me just read you their thought with this comes from Jason Stark. Jason Stark over at The Athletic. Basically, the purpose would be to increase the number of high leverage plate appearances that go to top hitters. They think that would create more drama in close games. The fixed nature of the batting order often leaves huge at-bats in the hands of less heralded players. One could argue that's a flawed comparison to other sports where teams can choose to turn the ball to their stars when games are on the line. At the same time, of course, right? One of the great moments in baseball have been the guy that comes up with the big at-bat that's like, I mean, here, locally, we all know, Christian Colon, wild card game. In that spot, would that be the guy we all would have picked to send Salvador Perez home for the win against the, down the line against the A's? No, but also what made that moment kind of special is it was Christian Colon stepping up. You know, so of course, Aaron Judge in the bottom of the ninth inning is more exciting than pick any nine hitter in baseball. Not debating that.
Yeah.
But this is just so gimmicky and it's changing just fundamentally how the sport is played. Like, we have rule changes all the time, but this is changing specifically something that is not just a pace of play thing. It is phony. It's something that would be in an arc, not even an MLB The Show. I might be giving it too much credit. Like, it's something that would have been in like the arcade MLB game. What was that called? Like MLB Slugfest or whatever. Like Blitz, but baseball.
Slugfest.
That's what that rule change sounds like.
The person, I think somebody on the text line earlier in the conversation had likened it to the Savannah Bananas. That's what it would make a mockery a little bit of the game itself. Like, again, what Savannah Bananas are all for entertainment purposes, not for the game of baseball itself. Like, there's certain levels to, like the Harlem Globetrotters. Yes, it's basketball, but
you know what you're getting yourself into. Nobody, the Harlem Globetrotters are not claiming to be real basketball.
Yeah.
It is strictly entertainment, and I understand baseball is a form of entertainment as well, but like fundamentally making a mockery of the game. And I'm usually not like old school baseball guy. I'm quite the opposite in a lot of things. I some of the people are so worried about the statistical records in baseball, and that's not usually me. But this just fundamentally changes the sport, and that's why I don't expect it to actually get a ton of traction.
Somebody say, well, teams have to use a ghost runner.
Well, because nobody knows what it would officially be, because then the argument is like, if you could pinch hit Bobby Wood Jr. on the leadoff spot, and then he's due up again right after, let's say he gets a double, then you just get to assign someone random to run for him while he has his actual at-bat, because you don't lose your actual at-bat.
So, hold on. So, okay. Say Bobby Witt comes up and he hits.
His normal at-bat or the golden at-bat?
His normal at-bat.
Okay.
No. Say it's the nine-hole hitter. Bobby comes in to hit for him. So Bobby hits and he's on base. His normal at-bat comes back up. Mm-hmm. He has to go, say he's on third, he has to go back. Do you replace him at third with the person who was the nine hitter?
I don't know.
So then you go back to the original lineup? That's
right.
It's very confusing. Somebody said, do we think you should go back to the original baseball rules back in the 1900s? I mean, how much different is the game other than replay and the pitch clock? I mean, how much different is the game actually? How many things are actually different?
Someone says, do they bat for a specific batter? No, the way the rule was proposed and discussed, this golden at-bat ridiculousness, is that you would be able to pinch hit one time in a game for any player. You would pick your best player. So in the Royals case, they're going to pinch hit. You would think Bobby Wood Jr. every single time.
Yes, please.
So that's who he could pinch hit for anybody, and you would not lose his actual at bat. That's why I'm saying in this scenario, you could technically have back to back Bobby Wood Jr. at bats.
But does the other person get back in the line? That's where it's confusing.
Oh, the other person would get back in the line the next turn.
The next time.
Yes, it's a one-time thing. That's why the thought would be you would only use it in like the ninth inning.
Someone said
or the eighth inning, or I guess if it's the second inning and you have bases loaded and the middle, the bottom of the order is up or something, then you would just use it there too.
Somebody said, so Bobby wouldn't get the run stat.
See, this is where the whole thing's a mess.
The rule changes
ridiculous.
Completely. That's insane. Yeah.
Also,
that would be nuts.
If we're going way down the rabbit hole, can you imagine for fantasy baseball how this would just?
Oh yeah, are you kidding me?
I mean, you still want the best player on your fantasy baseball team as well, but now you would have a chance to truly just have ridiculous performances. Like betting Bobby Wood Jr. over under hits, like the totals would have to be more, wouldn't they? Because you'd have a chance that he's going to get an extra at bat.
Oh yeah, you would think
get an extra at bat every game.
Like in terms of like the one game that Shohei had, what game was it? Like four home runs or whatever it was. Shohei's going to come back up to bat again. I just think the funniest thing. The most troll job that you could do, the biggest troll job you could do is somebody gets intentionally walked. You bring that same person up the very next at bat. You going to intentionally walk me again, or are you going to actually pitch to me again?
Someone says, we added a designated hitter. We've already done that. I hear you. I think this is way crazier than that. Also, for many, many years, one league did have a designated hitter. It wasn't like this completely outlandish idea. I was just like, one league decided to obviously have a designated hitter, and then now it's universally a DH, but... I don't think, I'll be honest, I get it that they've made other changes. I don't think this is anywhere near, this is so gimmicky.
We had
a DH for many years. We were all used to it. Just if you were a team on the National League side, you decided to have your pitcher hit instead.
I love the fact that us trying to explain it to ourselves is making it even more confusing, and also realizing how stupid it is. Like when they actually go and meet about this, what is their explanation for how this actually is a thing or how it would work? That's what we want to
know. Does he get placed in between two batters, not just replacing the at bat? I guess I'm confused on the question. It's simple. Like in this is why the rule sucks. But like, if let's just use Jonathan India. Jonathan India is the leadoff hitter for the Royals in 2025, and under this golden at bat rule. Top of the order comes back around, and no disrespect to Jonathan India, but they're like, you know what? We want to make sure Bobby Wood Jr. gets two at-bats this inning. So Bobby Wood Jr. would be the leadoff hitter, and he would bat second. Jonathan India would go back to being the leadoff hitter if another inning happened. Who runs on base? I have no idea. I have no idea. But he wouldn't go. You wouldn't go in between the two batters. Does that make sense? Like you go back to back, whatever the order is.
Yeah.
Or I'm using that example. But if the number eight hitter was up, Bobby Wood Jr. could then bat the eighth spot, and he would come back around and bat in the second spot.
It's just
anyway.
The fact they called it the golden rule too. Like really,
golden at bat.
Jeez.
I mean, again, I like the name. That's about it. That's about all I got, man. Let's get to the random question of the day.
Random question.
All right. What do you got for me today?
For you, Gold, for the text line, 913-586-7965.
Oh, real quick, did you hear your neighbors last night? If you listen to the show yesterday, you know
what I'm
talking about.
I heard them walking around. They were not having any, they were not pleasuring.
Why do you have to say they were not pleasuring?
Because it's awkward, and I think it's funny to be awkward because I know that you react the way that you do. And it's a funny moment. That's my character on the show for these moments. I get to be the awkward person in the room, even though I don't like doing it. The random question I have for you, Gold, is not related to that. For the text line, is not related to that. What's your favorite old school video game? Now, this is not like, you can't say, I guess you could say it's NBA 2K or NFL or Madden. But if you said like ESPN, NFL 2K5, valid. If you said some of the ones that we're going to bring up, Gold, valid. If you want to go back to like Nintendo 64 days, PS1, PS2, those are the games that I'm talking about. One of mine, is this one right here, actually, is SSX Tricky.
Oh, that was a classic.
I mean, yeah.
The soundtrack was incredible for that game. That was just a fun game to play because you enjoy the music. Yeah, that's an all-timer. That's solid.
I would play Alaska on the show off, and I'd get over a million points.
You were good at it then.
I got pretty good at it.
The music was great. That was a classic game. Haven't they made new iterations of it since? I think for some of the newer consoles, I can't remember. But the original,
I don't think they've done it for a
while. I played it on game. I think it was GameCube.
GameCube is the way that we have it. And I've got my wife and I have a Nintendo Wii, and I still have that game actually.
For me and if you're just asking like favorite video game kind of thing,
yeah.
There's a bunch of categories.
It's gotta be older though. Like, it can't be new.
I mean, I guess it could be. It's not for me. It's going back to N64, and I know they've brought this back. You can play it on Xbox now too, I think. But GoldenEye 007.
Yeah.
The menu music. You play the map Facility. Facility, man. You play Facility.
Oh,
or
yeah.
You play the one in the temple with the golden gun. The golden gun mode.
The golden gun, huh?
That was like all-time stuff. So, yeah, GoldenEye 007 theme, man. Facility was a great map.
Somebody mentions Guitar Hero. Dusty mentioned the Tony Hawk games, Tony Hawk skateboarding games.
That had a good track.
Those are classic. They had them remastered, actually.
Did they?
For PlayStation 5. Somebody mentioned this one as well, then iconic theme.
Oh, Halo? So, Halo, I was never that good at the game, but I loved it. So, that's from the original Halo, which was on original Xbox. And then, of course, Halo 2 was actually even the bigger launch. I told you guys before, if you've listened to the show for a while, I used to be a major video game nerd. Major. I had a video game.
Yeah, you said you had a channel or a podcast.
I had a video game. Like, it was before podcasts. It was like a live online radio show. I was 12 or 13 years old, and I got video games sent to me, and I would do reviews, and I got games for free.
You're like a YouTuber, essentially.
Was before Instagram. So I was Instagram influencer before that existed, and I missed my opportunity by a couple of years, apparently. But basically, I was doing that, and so for Halo and Madden, but for Halo, I remember camping out at Oak Park Mall GameStop, you know, with a bunch of people at midnight for the release of Halo 2, along with other games. But yeah, so Halo was up there. Someone else said Tecmo Bowl. Yeah, that's just a classic. Admittedly, that wasn't huge for me. I guess I'm not that's a little bit before my time, but I obviously am well aware of Tecmo Bowl. Yeah, I mean, we've all played it. I didn't play it as much as a lot of people just because it was before me, but an all-timer.
Somebody said the NASCAR Thunder 2003, still have that game, one of the best games of all time. Love it. Great soundtrack. Magic Carpet Ride was in that one, as well as some other good ones. Of course, you have to be a racing fan, I think, to be lane in particular. But yeah,
I played some of the NASCAR, back because we just like playing online, and then we would end up wrecking your buddy online.
Well, so my brother and I would wreck. I would go try to win the race, and my brother would go backwards and wreck everybody on purpose.
Yeah, like we all did that, right? That was a thing we all did. And then there's just the classic, and I know they're still making. They're up to what, Mario Kart like 8 at this point in time. But the Mario Kart games.
Played this game over the weekend, baby.
The original?
Yeah.
Really?
On the Nintendo Wii. On the Nintendo Wii.
So Mario Kart's just an... I like Mario Party a lot as a kid. Mario Party, you'd like tear up the middle of your hand with the joystick, because you'd be like doing the one with the boat or whatever. You'd be like, you have to like quickly spin the joystick, and you'd right in the middle of your palm, or right in the palm of your hand, I should say, and it would tear up the middle of your hand.
Yeah, your hand would get sore and everything like that. Somebody say Crash Bandicoot. Classic.
I never got into that. I know people love that. It was like a best-selling game.
It's a fun game.
I never got into that one for whatever reason.
It is weird. Like, if you go through all these games and you play video games now, and you're like, man, those games back then actually were better than the games are now.
It's weird, though, trying to go back, because we're so used to better, you know, technology and graphics now.
Yeah.
It's hard to go back and play. Even GoldenEye, when they've brought it back to Xbox, and I did try to play it once, and it's just not the same. It's just because we're so used to better graphics now, so you're just like, oh, this is, it's really difficult. I can't imagine if you're like a teenage kid now trying to go back and play. It's even worse for you, because you're like, what? How did you guys this? The graphics are terrible. But that's all we knew.
MVP Baseball 2005 with Manny Ramirez on the cover. Yes. Mm-hmm. NBA Jam or NFL Blitz.
People want you to play the Halo song again.
You want me to play the Halo theme again?
It's
so good.
Are you singing?
Yeah, I was. I was harmonizing. Keep going. There we go. I can't do it by myself. I got to have somebody that's helping me out. That'd be the game. But yeah, I think video games now, I think they used to get pumping them out as much as they can, where now they almost become like carbon copies, Madden, along with others. There was another one that was older, like PS2, PS3, Midnight Club.
Somebody said that there was an update recently.
Dub Edition.
There was an update recently, I guess, for PlayStation 5 or something. You can have the intro be the old school PS original PlayStation.
You can have it as the 30th anniversary. I had it updated yesterday. PS1, 2, 3, 4. I have PS2. Mm-hmm. So everything that you select, everything has the sound as it used to have. Very, very cool.
Yeah, someone said, I'm on the text line, I'm a little late. So many good games. Ocarina of Time. Yeah, that's a classic Zelda game. You play the little ocarina, the horse would come running, and you ride around the horse and you'd be able to just go and use, what was it? I guess it would be a bow and arrow, right? As you were on the horse.
Somebody gave a computer game, Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Oh my goodness, dude. That,
you make your own theme park?
I haven't heard about that game in a while.
You make your own theme park?
That's another one. You go look at the graphics now, and you're like, how do I play this? Same with like the original Sims or Sim City. Sim City on N64. Great game. Now can't go back and play it. I can't see anything. I don't know what I'm doing.
Backyard baseball. Somebody had mentioned that earlier. Backyard baseball, backyard football, they have obviously brought that back as well. It's like only $10 I believe.
These are good. These are good memories, man. These were all.
Somebody said Midnight Club LA got a remaster? Hold up. For a PlayStation 5? Dead serious, because I will go download that like today.
Says you need to stop pronouncing it that way right now. Pronouncing which one? Which one are we pronouncing wrong in your opinion? Which one? Which game did we pronounce wrong? I don't know.
Was it the one that we just meant? Roller Coaster Tycoon?
I don't know
how you.
I'm not sure which game you're talking about. I have no idea. I'm not sure. Someone says you're talking about old school video games, depressing. The ones you're talking about are after my time. Sorry about that. Hey, we brought up Tecmo. That's probably a little more fitting. We brought up Tecmo for a little bit.
Someone said Oregon Trail.
Oh, okay. Someone said I pronounced the Zelda game wrong. Okay. Oregon Trail, that's one of those that you can still play on you can still find that online and pop in and play or whatever.
Someone said Xbox.
I even had something called the Yukon Trail, which is obviously a real thing up in Alaska, but
yes.
That was the one I actually played more than the Oregon Trail, the Yukon Trail.
I'm surprised nobody said Grand Theft Auto. Have not seen that one time mentioned.
Did anybody actually, did you play that all the way through, or would you just mess around? Because initially I would play the missions, and at some point you get to a point where you're like, screw it.
I think you just start messing around. Yeah. Like, you never try to quote-unquote beat the game, I guess. You're just trying to screw around and go do your thing. They've got a new one coming out next year.
New Grand Theft Auto?
Based on, so what I've read a little bit on it.
I don't, the only games I buy Mailman are like NCAA football, Madden, that's it. And I haven't played the college football game in a very long time.
Oh, you're missing out.
My nephew will have the college football game. I'll play against him. I did over Thanksgiving.
So the new one is based, apparently, they're basing a lot of the things that are in the game off Florida Man. So the random things.
Oh, well, that's why we had the trash today. The guy was trying to sue them for making a character based off of him. He claimed they made a likeness off of him, and he was trying to sue them.
They're making characters based off of Florida Man or Florida Woman situations.
That's, why not? Why not?
There come the GTA text messages.
All right, up next, though, let's get back to the Chiefs. Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider, is going to join us in studio. Going to have a full half hour, maybe more, of Chiefs discussion, including the plan at left tackle Sunday night.